to RoomPak's Res Ed Chat podcast, a platform to showcase people doing great work and to talk about hot topics in residence life and college student housing. I'm your host, Crystal Lay. I use the she, her series pronouns. I'm really excited about our guests today. I actually came across them on a social media platform where they were posting pieces about leadership. I thought it was very informative and really neat. However, one post in particular stood out to me, and it was a piece about emotional intelligence. When I think about emotional intelligence and working in housing, a couple of things came to mind. Is it possible to keep your composure when you're listening to folks talk about ups and downs in their lives, when you're dealing with trauma? There's a range of emotions and feelings that can take place in the work that we do in housing. And so I got really curious about the expectations or what's reasonable when you think about emotional intelligence in our line of work. So I reached out to this human and I said, hey, I think you would be great. Are you interested? And thankfully they said yes. And so with that, I'll have our guests introduce themselves.
Awesome. Well, first of all, Crystal, thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of your podcast today. Super excited to be here and to talk to all the professionals that listen to this wonderful podcast. My name is Dr. Joshua Fredenberg, aka Dr. J. And number one, I'm an international speaker. I've been speaking within the college market specifically for about 16 to 17 plus years. So I've been to 49 different states. Also do some association professional development work as well. Also, I've written 8 books with my newest book called The First Generation Student Career Playbook, which is really a step-by-step interactive book to help first-gen students not only navigate college, but position themselves for career success. And then also we do our Circle of Change Leadership Conferences, one that is coming up soon in Southern California, our 15th annual Circle of Change Leadership Experience based in Los Angeles, and then our First Gen Career Conference in Miami. LA is more focused on a leadership focus as well as career development as well, but really preparing student leaders, residential hall assistants, really to step up as leaders and really make an impact not only in their community on campus, but also once they graduate as well. So great to be here today with you, Crystal, and looking forward to the conversation about emotional intelligence.
Yes, Dr. J, I'm so ready. You got me pumped up. Thanks for all the really cool things that you do to support student leadership and encourage that. So I want to start off, can you tell us, like, what is emotional intelligence and then how is it different than IQ?
That's a really, really great question. And I'm a certified emotional intelligence coach. So I actually talked about this when I was going through our training. And one of the things that they talked about is, I said, IQ deals more with just your knowledge, your competency, whereas emotional intelligence deals more with your emotions. How do you manage your emotions? How do you deal with your emotions? How do you recognize the emotions of others and be able to respond in a way that leads to a positive outcome? And the one thing that stuck out to me when they made the difference between IQ and EQ is they said that EQ you can develop. And that was really eye-opening to me, where they talked about, you know, you can have a low EQ today, but over the next, if you work on the skill sets, if you work on the principles, you can actually build it up. And so it really focuses more on your emotions, your relationships, how you deal with people versus IQ dealing with your knowledge, your competencies. So, you know, similar, but yet different.
Ooh, okay. So I love the fact that you can build upon it. So that we're talking about college students. So how can being aware of emotional intelligence support our college students who live on campus? Like, when would it be most helpful? And the first thought that comes to mind is, I'm living with a roommate.
Yep.
So what do you think would be helpful in that particular instance?
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to emotional intelligence, again, there's so many different dynamics in which to talk about it. But as a ratio of college student dealing with your roommate, I think number one is really getting to know someone different from you. A lot of times when you meet someone for the first time, you come from different walks of life. You don't know each other. You're not even sure about what their upbringing is. So you may have someone that's from a rural area and another one that's from the city. So maybe the language, maybe the way of doing things, maybe the personality, maybe a lack of education in certain areas could trigger someone to feel a certain type of way. Maybe they said something, maybe they do something different, and that causes a trigger to come in you. And instead of taking a step back and relaxing before you respond, and like I like to say, a respectful way, sometimes when you're not able to identify your triggers, to identify those things that cause you to react a certain way, you may say, do, or act in a way that really just makes things worse. And again, just for those that may not be aware, what is an emotional trigger? Those are words, those are people, those are things, those are experiences, those are memories that cause you to feel a certain type of way emotionally. And when we're not aware of them and we don't develop what I like to call regulation strategies, we start saying and doing things that really can be outside of your character. A person can be a great person, but if you don't know how to handle certain triggers, you may act in ways where people may view you in a way that's not necessarily who you are. And that's why it's so important to be emotionally intelligent, because not only does it help you to be your best self, but again, dealing with the roommate that may say, that may do, to get on your last nerves, it helps you to learn how to calm down and then have a respectful conversation with that person. That's one aspect. As I'm thinking about another aspect, it's just being socially aware. We can talk more about that as well. And I like to define social awareness as, you know, one of the aspects of it is recognizing people and understand their emotions, their nonverbals, and knowing how to respond the right way. The other is understanding the external impact that certain issues have on people. So, for instance, if I'm living with someone that just was devastated, had a family member devastated by the hurricane that went through the South, they may not be in the best mood. They may not really want to talk. They may not have nothing to say. And that doesn't mean they don't like you. It's just that maybe they're grieving, maybe they're upset, maybe they're sad, maybe they're frustrated. And being able to be aware of the impact of issues on people can help you not become offended at things that sometimes offend people, but it's not necessarily them, it's just what the person is going through. So those are a couple of things, you know, definitely that I feel that EQ can do as far relative to helping their roommates and stuff like that.
So it sounds like the key word is awareness of self, maybe the things that are happening in the world and around you, and then the other human you're engaging with.
Yep.
It also sounds like there's no magic age when you're like, yes, I am emotionally intelligent.
Exactly.
Okay. So if you have a high EQ and you're an RA, for instance, or you live in as a student staff member, is there a way you can use EQ in your role? Like I am an RA, I have a really high, is that such a thing to have a high EQ? And then how do you use that in your work as a student staff member or a student leader?
Oh, yes. I think it's vital for every student staff member that works with students on a consistent basis. I mean, I would make it mandatory. That's just my personal opinion. Because number one, it helps you deal with stress. I think anyone that works within Res Life is dealing with stress, unexpected challenges, unexpected people, unexpected triggers. You know, I remember when I was going to school, I remember there were, unfortunately, there were students that would curse out the person in charge. And so how do you deal with that when someone just calls you out your name, disrespects you? Because, you know, sometimes you want to be quick, like, oh, really? You said that? But you're the leader. You're in charge. So how do you keep your emotions in check when you get disrespect in a way that you don't deserve, by the way? But there's a way in which you deal with disrespect that requires you to be emotionally intelligent. And so I think that's one area. Obviously, definitely social awareness, being aware of the emotions, being empathetic, being able to understand where people are at, being able to put yourself in the shoes of other people. That is really, really helpful. Understanding the external impact and how do I address certain situations? How do I determine policies? How do I determine rules? I think that's another important element of it as well. Another thing is relationship building. How do you build relationships with people? I think, you know, when you're living with someone, really, you got to be a relationship builder, and not just relationship build with the person that you like. How do you build a relationship with a person that gets on your last nerves? Mm-hmm. How do you build a relationship with this person that you still have the responsibility to do right by them, to make sure they're okay, but yet they're talking about you behind your back? But as the leader, you still have a responsibility to do the right thing. So how do you navigate that? How do you work in those kind of places? How do you deal with people that aren't listening to you, that aren't following your instructions that you're telling over and over again? I mean, these are a variety of ways in which EQ is going to help residential leaders become more effective as leaders in their jobs. And another thing that I don't know if we can get more into it is, how do you deal with your pain? One of the things that's not often talked about when it comes to leadership is, what is the leader doing that to still show up, although they're dealing with external pain? And that requires, you know, being able to identify, being able to be accountable, being able to be aware of your emotions, and really doing the work, whether it's going to a therapist, whether it's talking to people, whether it's just self-reflection, but what are you doing to make sure you're all right so you can actually serve at an optimum level? Because a lot of times what can happen is, Susan Taylor once said, hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm hurt, or I'm dealing with issues, or I'm dealing with challenges that are unresolved, that can come out in the way in which I treat other people, which ultimately has a reciprocal effect. So these are just some of the ways in which your emotional intelligence can either enhance your experience, or it can really make things much more tougher as a leader within the res life.
Yes, because we don't leave all our stuff at the door when we come to work, or we come back from a class and go into our community, and we have to shield, because we know that, you know, there's this idea that resident assistants, RAs, are always in a fishbowl. Everyone's always watching me. And so what are the things that you are doing to care for yourself and creating your own timeouts? So something I do as a professional staff member, I'll come into my office, I'll turn my noise machine on, and I close the door. I might stomp my feet. I might give myself a little pep talk, you know, and then I go back out into the world. And then also I have a couple of days off coming up. So what are the things you're doing to care for yourself so you can lead more effectively and better, but ultimately first caring for yourself? So I love that, really being attuned to where you are and the balance of being a leader and knowing that there's a pressure to feel like you always have to be on. And that can definitely take a toll. So I talked about high IQ or high EQ. I want to talk about low EQ. Mm-hmm. Is it appropriate for me to go up to someone and say, "Ooh, you had this reaction. I think this is low EQ." That doesn't feel like I should do that. So how should you address someone if you are, you have some concerns and you think this could be a matter of them needing to manage their emotions differently or better?
Well, I just think it, again, that comes back to social awareness and really understand the person, understanding where they're at, and then knowing how to communicate in a way that leads to a positive outcome. Some people, you know, you have to be in the right space. You have to be, you know, sit down, and maybe you have to take more of a coaching mindset. Like, how do you feel about that? How do you feel this reacts where they can figure it out themselves? Some people you may have to be direct towards. But it really just comes down to really understanding the person, really understanding where the person is, really understanding, is it the right moment to address the situation, and then being thoughtful and intentional and effective in your communication. I think those are really, really important skill sets to understand. For instance, I coach flag football with my son. And unfortunately, this past weekend, we had a referee that was really, really bad. And so I was really, really upset. And I was like, I can't believe this. And my emotions are running. And at a point where I could really just really probably say the wrong thing, I had to stop and say, calm down, chill. You don't want to get kicked out the game. You don't want to be labeled as a bad coach. So just chill. And I had to regulate my emotions on the spot. And then I had to just work through that. And my assistant coach that was with me was like, man, I was just watching you because, you know, you're a calm person. I'll just explode. So basically my response was not only affecting me, but it was affecting other people as well. And so then afterwards, I had to reach out to the coach because my player said that the coaches were talking. And so I'm in this thread and I could just really just blast the person, but I was corrected my approach. I said, man, thank you so much. You know, you all won. It was great. And then I gave the insight. I said it was unacceptable, but again, good game. So it was more of a sandwich principle. The guy gets back and he said, we didn't say nothing. Maybe one of my coaches did. I'm sorry about that. We got on the phone. We created a good relationship. Everything is settled because I use emotional intelligence. Now, if I would have gotten in a situation like, y'all talking this and you're doing this and da 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 da, just going like that, I guarantee it would have been a whole situation. I would have looked bad. They would have got upset. No telling where everything would have went because I wasn't tactful, intentional, and wise in my approach to dealing with the situation. And that's just an example of how, you know, using high EQ or connecting with someone low EQ can be very beneficial for the leader.
I'm writing that down. Tactful, intentional, and wise.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm going to take that one. I love that. So I want to give you a little bit of a scenario. So, you know, student leaders have a range of incidents that can happen. We talked about roommate conflicts. Maybe they're not getting along with their supervisor. There's trauma. What's the connection between navigating like heightened or difficult situations and managing your emotions? So, for example, I guess I want to go practical. let's say I can't tap out. I have to respond. Physiologically, there's stuff happening in my body. So are there practical things to help someone talk through? I can't leave this space. This thing is happening because of my job. I can't leave the space. And then the other piece, I have an opportunity to tap out, but I don't know how to ask for it because I'm nervous or I don't want people to make fun of me. So two different scenarios, but really what are some practical tips, I guess?
So the first one, if I'm not mistaken, is you have to respond to someone and you can't just walk away. You have to respond. Is that where we're at?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So, and I think that's good. I think we're dealing with conflict because some people don't like to deal with conflict. So I think the first thing is to breathe and to really take time to reflect before you speak. That's really, really important because a lot of times when we just respond, we're responding out of emotion versus really taking the time to think about what we're getting ready to do. So if you're in that situation, I would say the first thing, just take a break for a moment, relax, think about the situation and ask yourself the question, what is most beneficial, not just for me, but for the other person? So what's the win-win in the conversation? And then you respond in a way where it's not just to get your point across, but to create what I call a win-win situation. And one of my friends once said, sometimes you write the email out and then you go back and you do the email again so that you make sure that you're really not just emotional, but you're actually taking the time to really make sure it's thoughtful. I wrote a book several years ago on relationships, and it came out of a bad relationship. And I'll never forget, I wrote the introduction and I was just like, just give it to the person, right? And my dad edited the book and he said, son, I don't want you to write this because you may regret what you said. And so he restructured it. And as I look back, I'm so glad that he did that because I may have said things that was based off hurt and emotion versus what really needed to be said to get my point across where it wasn't putting down someone. So I think that's the first thing that I think is important. As far as backing away and not feeling weak, if I'm getting your answer correctly, you know, there's nothing weak about just not having the conversation. I think that's number one to understand, because sometimes if you respond, you may say and do things that are outside of your character. I think it was one person that once said, you know, the strongest statement is just to say no and just let it be, because You need that energy. You need that strength. And a lot of times when you start acting, you know, out of your capacity, now you start to stress yourself out. You start to spend time on things that really don't need to be spent time on. You know, I always like to use the example of social media, especially during the political season. Someone will say something and you'll get very upset. So you'll go on social media and you'll be in a political debate. Go, you don't know this. Well, you don't know this. Well, you don't know this. And you wasted all this energy. You've wasted all this time. And now you're tired. And you really wasted like 6 or 7 hours of your day when that person was never going to change their mind. As a matter of fact, they did it to make you react the way that you reacted. And so sometimes you got to learn how to say, no, I'm not going to deal with this today. I'm just going to step away. You win. Awesome. Congratulations. And just keep moving forward. And it'll be best for you. And it actually may change their heart because they're like, oh, this person, you know, they realize they can't control you emotionally.
Wow. So I love the practical tips and I can see myself utilizing those. And then again, the slowing down, the pausing, and then thinking about what's the impact. And I love that, like you talked about, the win-win situation for everyone involved. So let's say I'm a hall director and I want to do an emotional intelligence activity with my staff. Mm-hmm. What are your recommendations? What can I expect? Is there like a score? Is there like, you have 77, like how does it work? And how would you recommend someone facilitating that, like best practice, I guess?
Well, there's a lot to talk about. I think number one, so I'm certified. So I'm actually certified to do an emotional intelligence assessment. That's literally where someone would go through the assessment and there a score would come out similar to StrengthsFinder. The score would come out and it would let you know where you are as it relates to emotional intelligence. And then I could come back and begin to identify the areas in which you need to work on. And by the way, it's not that it's pretty inexpensive for students, by the way, but it's a really good opportunity to go deeper and to really see where you're at. Like, for instance, one of the examples that I often use is empathy. I always thought that I was a very empathetic person, obviously, because I care about people. I'm a speaker, right? You would know that I'm empathetic. I care about, I listen to people. But according to my score, I realized I was low. And I realized that through the assessment. And the reason I was low was because I'm also a very ambitious person. I'm a very, you know, I'm a doer. So what happens sometimes is when you're a doer and you're an ambitious person, you don't take the time to really cultivate the relationships like you should. Not that you don't like the person, but you're so busy doing so many things that you haven't taken the time to really get to connect with people and really build that relationship. So therefore, you're not able to really connect in a way that you could if you weren't so ambitious. And so the lesson that I learned was I needed to be a little bit more, I'll use the word intentional again, and more, as far as spending time and really connecting with people versus just going from person to person to person. That was just something that I learned through the assessment of, you know, the emotional intelligence, assessment that I did. But another thing that I talked about, you know, just use examples. I was at an institution in Georgia and I dealt with social awareness. And I talked about if this particular issue has happened, how are you going to respond in a specific moment? And so now you create the situation. And then you ask the student, how are you responding? And based on their response, you can evaluate whether it's the right way to respond, was it the right communication, was it the right thing to say, or because you responded in a way that may be more better. I guess a good one would be, you know, mental health. If someone is having suicidal thoughts, how are you going to respond to that? What's going to be your action in dealing with that from emotional intelligence? How are you going to connect in a way that's going to be effective and ultimately lead to a positive result? Going through that process from an emotional intelligence standpoint could really, really be, you know, effective. Or maybe there's a conflict and people don't like each other. How are you using emotional intelligence to navigate that conflict and get these two to really navigate those processes?
Wow. So I'm listening to some really cool like pros. Like if I'm emotionally intelligent, there's some really neat outcomes that can happen. I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to ask, are there any health benefits to being emotionally intelligent?
Oh, for sure. Oh.
I feel like there might be, but I want to defer to you as an expert. So.
Oh, absolutely. Your emotions affect your mental, they affect your physical, they affect your environment. I mean, emotions affect so many different things. I often hear people say that the number one the silent killer is stress. Stress. People, unforgiveness, bitterness, all those things that get inside of us from emotions, they impact us and they ultimately impact our relationships as well. And that's why it's so important, I believe, to really always assess, you know, where's my heart? Where's my state? Where's my mindset? Am I in the right emotional state? Because it really does affect relationships. It really does affect your health. Because again, you know, you hear it all the time, people are in toxic environments. And all of a sudden, this sickness comes up, this comes up, this comes up. It all starts with that emotions. I heard one therapist once say that if your gut is bothering you, there's probably something you need to deal with. And that would be interesting to me when she said that.
I'm trying to imagine a community, a floor community with all these emotionally intelligent students just... I wonder what that community would feel like, you know?
Yeah.
Looking I think out it'd be for supportive. Each other. Yeah, supportive.
They'd be supportive. I think it'd be respectful. I think it would be a winning environment. I think that there would be more encouragement, more empowerment. I think there'd be fulfillment. I mean, I think it'd be amazing, which is one of the reasons why I talk about in order to be an inclusive leader, you got to be emotionally intelligent. Yes. You know, because that really is a big force in creating that kind of space and environment.
Dr. J, this has been so good. So we're coming to the end of our time. If you have, like, if there are folks listening or watching that want to learn more about emotional intelligence and the connection to leadership or the work that you do, do you have any recommendations for where they can learn more?
Yeah, they can go to my YouTube channel. I have a series of different videos on emotional intelligence, my emotional intelligence program. I would also encourage them to actually read Daniel Goleman has a book called Emotional Intelligence 2.0. I think it's a really great framework for basic development as it relates to EQ. And then obviously there's tons of articles online, tons of readings that people can look into. But once you get an understanding of it and you begin to work on certain aspects of it, it definitely will make a huge impact in your progress moving forward. You know, as a leader, as a person, in a relationship, helps so many different areas.
I love that. I feel like there has to be more questions. I'm so passionate about this topic. And, you know, I'm thinking about the supervisors who are watching and, you know, how do we encourage them and keep them motivated during a time that seems so difficult, you know, in our culture and our climate that's happening, you know? So just with that piece, is there anything else that you want to say that's like uplifting or motivating? You've already done that. But as you know, as we think about going into this year with our college students, any thoughts for supervisors out there?
I think supervisors are even more important to be emotionally intelligent because, you know, as a supervisor, you create the culture just by leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't really talk much about that, but also emotional intelligence is about being aware of your impact on others. So, you know, your words, your behavior, the way in which you do things, the way in which you communicate, all that matters. And one of the things I think any parent would understand with kids is they actually pick more on what you do versus what you say. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we can say certain things, but if our actions are not in alignment with what we say, then ultimately it's going to be less effective. And so I would say to the supervisor is being aware of your actions and making sure that your actions are in alignment with your words and what you expect of others to do. I think that's so extremely important, just as far as leadership, but as far as even emotional intelligence. Are you modeling that? Are you dealing with it that way? I think can go a really, really long ways because, again, if the leader is toxic, it can cause everybody else to be toxic as well.
That's true. We're all out here setting an example. And what legacy do we want to leave? Not just after we leave, but while we're there in that environment, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I love that. So I am excited about the resources that you shared. I'm going to go look at your website again. Okay. and see this new book you have coming out. And I'm just so grateful for you spending time with us. Lots of great information. And so thank you. So thanks for joining us today on this episode of Reset Chat. If you have an idea of a topic or person you'd like us to have on the show, please let us know. We will add all this great information to our show notes. And thanks for checking us out today. Take care.